It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
Hey, welcome to Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. And if you recognize this voice, you know it is not Yitzhak Saflis, because he can't be here today because of Rosh Hashanah. And we welcome everyone and hope that you have a great show listening in today as I take this show over. Now, he's got a Jewish holiday, knows it's Rosh Hashanah, so Happy New Year to all those that are listening in and participating, and we wish everyone a great New Year. And this Lutheran is taking over the show right now, and he is my brother. He's like a brother to me, and Yitzhak allows me to come and do the show for him from time to time. We're, of course, cohorts over on C-Suite Radio as well, but it's a pleasure and always an honor to be on WABC 77 right here, and we're actually taping this in the iconic stage 17 on the 17th floor right here on the at Penn Station and Madison Square Garden. So we've got a great guest lined up today, and I'm telling you, you know, part of being an entrepreneur and owning your own business relies heavily on the relationships that we build along our career. The goal is always to have long-term successful relationships with people that understand your business model and have an interest in seeing you grow as well. So, however, that's not always the case. You know, you can't always build those relationships, but networking is at the core of it. And so my next guest is Maya Houlihan, president of Loyalty Networking. And I have some questions for her about networking, building enduring relationships, franchising, and so much more about the current state of business. Welcome, Maya.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here with you.
You know, you're based in Virginia Beach. This is the big city here in New York.
Huge.
You know, this is huge.
But I used to live down the street, so I knew how to get here today.
Did you really? So you knew. Well, you know, we're at Penn Station, so that shouldn't be too tough to be able to find us.
If you can't find it, there's a problem.
And I don't know if you know about Stage 17 right here on the 17th floor. Some of the most intimate interviews in the world have occurred here. Rockers. And the last time I was in here, Joseph Abood. We had Joseph Abood on this very single stage. He was sitting in that chair.
I'm honored. And I literally have chills from that. That's great.
Well, if you can wear his clothes. I mean, he's dapper. He was dapper. And it was he's a very nice gentleman. It was just a really great time. And good time to have them. So when I look at Loyalty Networking, you're a franchise, new franchise. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the history.
Sure. So Loyalty Networking is actually a subsidiary of a larger company, Loyalty Brands. Mm-hmm. And I know you know our founder and many
I should disclose I'm on your board.
I
know a lot.
I will share with the audience.
Yeah.
So our founder is John Hewitt, who is the founder of Jackson Hewitt Tax Service.
He's a huge, you know, like a repeat, triple repeat.
This is the trifecta.
Because he started his career, for those of you who don't know, John Hewitt started at
H&R Block,
mm-hmm. left there, was running their software business, but mm-hmm. couldn't do what he wanted to, so he went out and got Jackson Hewitt, ended up building that into a massive franchise, sold that for about $480 million, somewhere in that range, and then went out the next day and started Liberty Tax.
That's right.
4,500 locations across the globe. And now built it up one of the largest and took that public and sold it off. And now Now he's doing this. So why jump from taxes into networking?
So I think for him, it's where he's at is in his career. He's already been successful two times over. And with Loyalty Brands, it's a holding company. So instead of being the franchisor, we are now supporting franchisors that have a great model, but maybe have some difficulty scaling. I mean, his success is hyper growth. And when I first started working with John, he said to me, nobody goes into franchising to have 10 locations.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, people start franchising because they want multiple units. They want them to be even internationally successful. So he can be consultative. He can be that experience, the acumen that he brings to the table for these franchisors to really help them achieve their dreams.
Yeah.
You know, so for instance, our business broker, when Loyalty Brands got involved, I believe had about 16 locations, and they've been in business for 25 years. Well, we've added 14 locations already in almost a year.
Well, so, and you've added another tax group,
we've added
right?
Added a tax group, right?
They're based here in the New York
yes,
area.
Yes, they
right?
are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Loyalty Brands has a number of brands and mm-hmm. services that right. help businesses succeed.
That's exactly.
And then
right.
at the core of this is Loyalty Networking,
right.
which is what you're the head of.
I'm the head of Loyalty Networking.
So tell me about networking. How's it changed?
So, well, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think particularly, and I know that you can relate to this, anybody that's new to networking, it can be really overwhelming. They don't know how to use it. They don't know where to start. You know, it can be intimidating.
It can be intimidating.
Speaking is not something they're comfortable with. Yeah. And so we're taking a position of not just helping people realize their business goals, but actually educating them on how to be the best networker possible. Because it's really... I think so many people go into it sort of haphazardly or just with this, you know, like, okay, well, maybe I'll go to an event sometime this week or maybe I'll go next week. They don't take it seriously.
Like a real business.
It is a marketing strategy.
Hey, it's by the way, networking has been at the core of everything I've done.
That's right.
I'm probably known as one of the best networkers out there, but networking with a purpose. I mean,
I'm
doing it for a reason. I'm not just wanting to collect your business card and trade on it and then pitch you right away. I want to build relationships.
Absolutely.
Because the more you give, the more you get. That's the way it always works in business, and certainly within networking. And networking's changed. I think networking used to be a little bit more of what I would call a belly-to-belly rubbing kind of thing, trade the business cards, meet at coffee, you know, and now we don't have time for a lot of that, right?
That's exactly right.
It's got to be done
differently. Which is sad. We really need to make time to do that. And so much of it is done online, and it's so impersonal. And I know you're, you know, very visible. I'm sure you get spammed like 50 times a day.
Yeah.
And so we've got to get back to real human connection. And that's really part of my platform, is that you will get business, you will grow your business, you'll be able to help other people with their business endeavors if you just can find a way to connect on a human level, right? The transaction will come after. That next piece, you know, stepping stone that you're looking for in your business will come from that. But just because we're attached to our phones and we're just so, you know, technology drives us, doesn't mean that we should forget to be humans.
Yeah, right.
And that's really, that's at the core of it, is just take the time, really.
Yeah.
And if you can go and do it, being genuine, being transparent, offering something to somebody else, even if it's just knowledge, then that's going to take you so far.
So let's talk about the structure of the business, because you basically are selling franchises, right?
That's right.
So is it are you selling group franchises, areas of, of influence, or are you selling it down to the zip code level? How do you do it?
Yeah. So all of the verticals, with the exception of loyalty networking, are a traditional franchise model. Okay. And so where you basically get a territory, right? You're going to own a market or a smaller market, I should say, based on population.
Yeah, DSA.
Exactly.
Right.
With loyalty networking, we have two ways to get involved, and that's particularly what I like about the model, and it is one of our differentiators, is that you can really tiptoe into networking and just say, I want to own the opportunity to build a network in my market. And we'll help you do that.
Reserve a space?
We're reserving a space. It's very affordable. It's $15.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously?
It's like that's the least of... I forgot how much it was. I was like, maybe... See, I would throw a zero on that,
exactly.
You know, before I started talking to you. But
that's right.
But that's pretty good. That's a pretty easy down payment for someone to make to get into a business that wants to do it as a maybe a side hack or full-time. You can get into that full-time.
And you can start part-time and then go full-time, right? And so the way that I liken it for people is, so if you want to do the, you know, conservative approach, that's like the realtor, okay? The realtor, the insurance broker, somebody in finance, or, you know, an independent small business owner. The other opportunity that we have is what was called a master franchise or area representative. And that's like the real estate investor, okay?
Yeah.
That's somebody who's really arrived in their career. They're heavily networked. They have the capital to put in more money. And they truly become our partner. So they own New York State,
and they're nurturing all these local chapter leaders.
That's
the best way.
Yep, they're cultivating them. They're qualifying them. They're helping with the onboarding and the training.
Is there a limit to the number that they can have inside their territory?
We do limit it to one chapter equals about 25,000 people.
Okay.
So, you know, if the market's 100,000, you're getting four chapters out of that market. So the goal is we want them to be successful. If
and then
not
everybody shares,
not.
As I in the loyalty
everybody
thing, everybody shares in the revenue up and down the chain, which
That's
I think
right.
is kind of cool. So that incentivizes people.
That's exactly right.
Which is the way networking kind of works, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And time is money. And today, time is precious. And so people want to feel like, if I'm putting the time in, I know I'm going to get something out of it, right? The more time you put in, though, the more you're going to get out of it. And that's the thing
always.
Is it's a commitment. People, they start, and it's, you know, I've watched people network like people work out at the gym. They go heavy for 3 weeks and then they stop for 3 months and then they go back for 3 weeks and then and they're just not consistent. And you know, if you're not consistent with your diet or you're going to look like me.
You're going to look like me.
Are you kidding me? You look fabulous.
Not good.
But
not
that's
good.
Networking. You can't just go in and come out and go in and come out and
You really got to commit.
It's a commitment.
And if you're good at it, you will.
Absolutely.
And if you're not, if you're just going to come in and come out, you're not going to be really good at
that's
it.
Right.
You're not going to be healthy.
That's true.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
What do you like about the franchising business versus the other, you know, independent startup yourself, right? Because I think this is
my background.
Well, that's your background. And I've owned franchises. Mm-hmm. I've been part of a franchisors. I've helped franchisors. I like both. Mm-hmm. I typically, if you're going to start up a brand new business from scratch and you've never done this, I love franchise.
I do too. Yeah. I think, well, you have a few things going for you. You have a proven business model. Okay.
Right.
Typically, if you're buying into a franchise, there's been success there, which is awesome.
Well, especially with a guy like John Hewitt.
Absolutely.
You know, your
founder. Like, it's not.
And John's whole team. I mean, you've got a team of people. Martha O'Gorman and others who've been there.
She's
owned franchise. Yeah. At the very beginning.
Like Jackson Hewitt beginning.
Yeah. Like way back.
Years.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. Not to take a little squirrel moment, squirrel. But it's amazing to see successful business people who move on to new things, but yet take some of the same team members with them.
Absolutely.
They just go like, hey, we had a good ride over there. Let's put another quarter in and go for the full ride over here.
That's right. Yeah, that says a lot about the leadership.
It does.
If people are willing to follow you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
And you've got a real unique team. And I know most of your leadership team, of course, being on the board, so I've disclosed
that.
But hey, again, we're talking with Maya Houlihan, president of Loyalty Network. And you're listening right here to Mind Your Business, 77 WABC. This is Jeffrey Hazlett filling in for Yitzhak Saflis, who is out for the holiday for Rosh Hashanah, and I'm so glad to be able to fill in. And we're talking about networking. We're talking about franchising, talking about successful relationships, building enduring relationships, and, of course, franchising the state of business. So, Maya, again, thanks. So,
absolutely.
What do you like? Do you like franchising, or do you like starting it up yourself better?
I'm a start it up yourself kind of girl, only because that's what I come from.
Yeah.
I'm a risk taker.
But now you're drinking this Kool-Aid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I love it, and I love that I can speak to it because I've been on both sides of the coin, right, when it comes to business. And, you know, I'm a risk taker. I will jump blindly, and that's just how I'm built. I know so many people that want to be business owners that are not risk takers, and franchising is the perfect opportunity because it's much lower risk. You have a greater chance of being financed. You have a built-in system, right?
Follow the plan.
Follow the plan, and you will be successful.
Right.
It's like literally coloring within the lines of a coloring book.
Yeah.
If you just
and
do
don't
it,
change the colors,
and don't change,
and don't
the,
change
colors,
the colors.
Right.
There's
if
brand
it's
guidelines.
Red and blue, make it red
there's
and blue.
There's
right?
brand guidelines.
So I think it's and then you know you if you're successful at it. You can buy more franchises,
right?
And you can continue to diversify in other ways, and
either
and make
the same
it,
kind of franchise
right,
or
right.
different
or
ones, because at least you understand the model.
Exactly. Yeah.
I tell people a lot of times, if it doesn't make a difference if it's a box of soap, a cure for disease, a political can, it's all in the marketing.
That's
it's
right.
It's all in the packaging.
Absolutely.
So once you do have a good system down, and if you know how to do it, you know how to run a good business, as long as you've got great expertise and obviously a system that works, it works.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find is the biggest advantage in having a franchise over an independent business?
I think it is the support. I really do. I think it's the support. It's you know, when I go out and speak now about business and giving advice to business people, my first piece of advice is if you don't have an advisory board, get an advisory board, mm-hmm. even if it's one or two people. And I feel like with a franchise model, the franchisor is your advisory
board.
Your
advisory board.
I mean,
right.
The corporate team is there to guide you and set you up for success. Your responsibility is to follow it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, most people try to go against the system at first, and then they realize it doesn't work that way. So I think that's really the benefit. It's just, and you can focus on your business. I think one of the biggest sort of pickles that business owners get into, particularly independent business owners, is they end up working in their business and not on their business.
Right.
And they're running, you know, they're putting fires out left and right all over the place. And it's not to say that that doesn't exist in franchising, but it is severely diminished because you have a greater network, truly a greater network.
And you can work
there,
more on the business
and you can
than
work
in it.
That's exactly
right. It's a problem. I mean, look, I've got businesses myself I'm chairman of and run at our C-suite network, and all the things that we do. And there's been a lot of time over the last couple months I've been in the business.
Yes.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, because then I'm not really moving the needle. And I love the fact that with the franchise side of it, you can do that.
That's right.
Yeah, which is good. And you, again, a good proven track record. I also like the attitude that most franchisors, and I can't say every franchisor is like this, but at least the ones I know, like John and, you know, what you're doing at Loyalty Brands, Loyalty Network, and you guys have been successful in just in a few months bringing other franchises into the network, franchisors into the network. So there's a lot of you. What are some of the names?
So it's First Choice Business Brokers. Okay. That was our very first
franchisor. So that's the business broker. Mm-hmm. So if you have a business broker, you want to broker your business, buy or sell business,
you can
run
us.
Right to them, right?
That's exactly
right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great model, too.
Yeah,
fantastic.
What's another
model?
ATAX.
Which is our Hispanic tax.
That's right. That's
outlet.
A Hispanic tax group, and that's based right outside in the boroughs here.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic.
So, and that's exciting because the vision for ATAX, for people that are looking for a franchise opportunity, is to really make it like the UPS store of Hispanic tax services. So it's going to be more than just taxes. It's going to be small business loans and money transfers and English as a second language and
money
help
orders
with immunization paper. Like,
oh,
so
yeah,
there's,
sure.
There's a lot that that community will have at their fingertips when they work with one of our ATAX companies.
Well, a trusted community, too.
Absolutely.
You know, people like to talk to folks that they trust.
That they trust. That's right.
Go figure.
If they want to come back, give them something to come back for. Right?
Yeah,
give
exactly.
them another service or product that they can buy from.
Are there other brands?
Yes. And so we have ATAX, we have First Choice Business Brokers. We just launched Loyalty Trade Exchange. That is our barter company.
The barter company.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is like
so that's
Loyalty
the new
Networking.
Name. See, I'm
up.
On the board. I didn't even know what the new name
Loyalty
was.
Loyalty Trade Exchange.
There, you heard it first right here on WABC. WABC 77. And we're talking at Mind Your Business. I'm Jeffrey Hazlett, the fill-in host. Yeah, so you guys, this is a second. You didn't even get the top guy today. You got me. So thanks so much for joining
Absolutely.
And listening
it's
to
so
us.
Great
and
to
thanks
be
for
here.
Being a part of the show. So you got that? Yeah, those are the three. Or is there another one?
What did I say? I said First Choice, ATAX, barter, networking.
Yep.
And that's it for now.
That's it for now. I know there's other ones on the thing, we're going to hear more about that.
Yeah.
Which so how do you? I'm kind of curious. Now you're with four other brands, right? Or three other brands? That's four of you. Is there a favorite one that John has or something over? Like he says, oh, I like this one better than the other one.
I think he likes all of them.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's kind of like children, right?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Kinda tough to
I think he sees the value in every single one of them. I don't think, I mean, John's such a smart business person. He would not, I think, go into something that he didn't think had real legs and real potential and trend for the future. You know what I mean? So you want to make sure that when you're starting a business or even investing in a business, that it has the potential to scale and to be sustainable 5 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now. So he's really brilliant in identifying those types of businesses.
Well, speaking of brilliant, you got another person there, Martha O'Gorman, who I love her. She's been a chief marketing officer at Liberty, and I don't know what she did before that, but I knew her at Liberty, and I've always loved her because I just appreciate what she does.
Yeah.
And she speaks. I had her actually on a television show. I interviewed her a number of years ago, and she talks about happy franchisees.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real key, is
Absolutely.
Happy franchisees. How do you get happy franchisees? How do you make them happy?
Yeah, listen to them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like having happy employees. I mean, you have to lead by example, obviously. If you say you're going to deliver a system, deliver the system. If you say that you're going to provide support and training, provide support and training. You know, put your money where
your
mouth is. Exactly.
Yeah,
deliver on
your promises.
Right? But it is about listening because it is collaborative once they come into the family. And the longer they're there as a franchise owner, the more rich that relationship should get. There should be more opportunities for discussion and, analyzing the business and changing things. But be accessible. I mean, you just have to be accessible and you have to deliver.
Yeah, that's it. That's the name of the game. That's it. Works for any business.
It does.
Works for anybody. But with franchises, I would think that they're sometimes a little bit more demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Having been in that before, they tend to be because they're paying into.
Sure.
They want value out of it.
But
every business does.
That's right.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about networking. I want to get more into networking. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to get all choked up about it here. But I want to talk more about networking. What makes a great networker? That someone that's out there working, working there, with LinkedIn and all these other things that are out there, nothing beats, like last night, I hosted a thing for the C-Suite Network. We had about 70 or 80 CEOs that showed up, founders of companies, and it was just networking. It was just a pop-up.
Absolutely.
And yet everybody showed up
and
mingled and traded cards and talked and, did business, really business. So what makes a good networker?
So I think really the first thing is kind of a character trait, and you just have to be selfless. You have to be wanting to help other people, right?
Yeah.
That needs to be the primary focus. And then,
what do you mean by that? Help other people. I mean, you're there for you, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Come on, you're
Everybody's
networking.
Everybody's there for themselves.
Yeah, I don't give a who the heck, you know about
but
that.
But nobody wants to be sold,
right?
Nobody
right.
wants to be blatantly sold.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't dominate a conversation, right? You have to let other people talk. I mean, I try when I'm networking to do a couple things: ask questions first, truly intently listen, and then follow up and find a way to bring back the conversation. Okay, so if somebody said, you know, I really want to do more public speaking, I've got this great speech, I don't really know who I can connect with, I'm not going to make that mental note. And then my follow-up is going to be, hey, I'd love to introduce you to this person that's a really great speaker, and maybe they can get you on their speaking circuit, or they can at least give you some advice. So I'm just a giver of knowledge. You know, I'm not a rich person, so it's not like I can give money. So I give time, and I give knowledge.
Well, it's my
knowledge.
Money. I don't want to give it to somebody else either.
Right, you know? And I feel like that's what comes back to you, and mm-hmm. you just have to be actively engaged, and it has to be strategic. Again, it's sort of just people do it so flippantly, and they don't follow up, and then they don't understand why they don't get the business, and then if they do follow up, they do it once, and then they never do it again, and they don't. We don't tend to go out of our way today to really get to know somebody, to really find in sales. I used to tell my sales girls, your goal when you meet with a client is to find one thing you can connect with that person on, just one.
Yeah.
Because if you can't connect on any level, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not selling them anything.
Yeah.
So like, does their grandmother bake? Did your grandmother bake? Like, mm-hmm. like what, is there a favorite vacation spot that they like to
said,
go to?
You just said sales girl. So I just want to make sure I bring that out in this call. Because if I said sales girl,
you can't get away
I am going to get letters, calls, tweets, you know, and things like that. But you used to run a wedding business.
I did not have any male sales associates, okay. Although I would have hired a male sales associate.
But you can get by with saying
I can.
I couldn't get by with saying that. Yeah. Nor would I. I don't think I would. I'd say my
sales team.
Sales team. Yeah, sales professional.
I'm a girl. I can say it. I'm going to own it.
I don't want to do that.
I'm going to own it.
I think it's interesting. I was just up at an event in Canada for 4 or 5 days in a very remote area. There was no cell phone service. There was no internet service. Mm-hmm. And so here I am mingling with 400 or 500, CEOs and founders. And, you know, look, the C-Suite Network, we have investments. We have $50 million fund. We're doing another $5 million fund. A lot of these were looking for money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, oh, wow, interesting idea. Can I have your card? And you know what? They didn't have no card.
Mm-hmm.
They had no card. Business card. Now some people take pride in the fact that they don't have that anymore,
right.
Which it's okay if you're on LinkedIn or you're in this, or you can trade it, or we text each other information. But even then, you should have some standards. That would be the basis,
LinkedIn,
wouldn't it?
The little digital cards, right? Those are intangible. There's nothing tangible that you're giving me. It's great that I can sync my phone up to yours, but there's nothing tangible. There's nothing better than
just
holding somebody's card.
What information did you steal from me
that I don't know about?
Yeah.
I don't understand why business cards are dying. I really think that they shouldn't be. And plus, it's...
Do you think they are dying?
I do. I think
it's gotten less.
People are not carrying them. They're just not giving them. They're not. And I think part of it is that people think that they just end up in somebody's trash can or, like, you know, on their bookcase that they're never going to do anything with.
Let's talk about then with that basics, because I think, look, especially if you don't have internet or... you know, or sell your phone service, mm-hmm. then you should think ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what is it would be a plan for networking? What would be some of the kind of things you'd want to think about ahead of time? You would want to do what?
Right. Well, let's think about the business first. So I always go back again, going sort of granular, coming back. Know your business.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how many people I meet, and they're so vague on what it is that they want to get out of business, who their customer is, what their marketing strategy is, you know, what team members they need. Yeah, have you ever talked to anyone that sort of just vacillates through the conversation?
Oh, Should you even be in
business? Like, sometimes that goes through my head. So you have to be, like, crystal clear on what is your business? Who is your customer? What is the vision? Do you have a growth strategy? And like, what are the benchmarks? Where do you want to be in 3 months? Where do you want to be in a year? Where do you want to be in 5 years? If you can clearly answer those questions, then from that should be a very easy 30-second, 60-second elevator pitch.
Well, right? See, I call it the 118. In my first book, now I've written 4 books. My first book called The Mirror Test, I outline the new digital elevator pitch. I call it 118. Here's what it is. You need 8 seconds is the average mm-hmm. attention span of an adult. I know that to be true because I looked it up on the internet. Okay, so there you go.
You're like, it's
all right?
True.
So you got 8 seconds to give them the hook. What's the mm-hmm. hook? What's the one thing you're going to say in such a provocative way that people want to hear the rest of it? I call it the lean-in factor. I'm sure you've seen this mm-hmm. where you've said something and someone leans in.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and they want to hear the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's what you got to have. So what is
Absolutely.
It that you're going to say that's going to capture their attention? And then 110 seconds is what you have. That's the average elevator ride in New York City from the time you press the button to get on that elevator, ride up, ride down, get off. So you have 8 seconds to hook them, 110 seconds to mm-hmm. tell me about the value of your company. Don't waste your time telling me I work with this,
right.
and this. You know, just, you know, can state what kind of companies you do work
That's
with,
exactly
but you don't have
right.
to give me all the brands. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But tell me about the value that you're going to give
yes,
to me.
Absolutely. And
so that's the critical piece. So
it's
know
huge.
Your business.
Know your business.
Yeah. Know how to present your business in a
right.
very short period. Because let's say mm-hmm. you're walking up and we've got 4 people standing around. We've all got a little glass of wine in yeah. our hand. You know, maybe mm-hmm. if you're really, you know, enjoying yourself, a good scotch. And maybe some crudité or mm-hmm. whatever they call that. And we're sitting there, and you come up and pitch. Now you got to give that good pitch,
That's right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other things that you should do to prepare? So it's,
sure.
I'm going to keep track of these and know
yeah.
your business, right?
Gotta know your business.
And then the
mm-hmm.
second one is be able to pitch it.
Be able to pitch.
So
it.
No
mm-hmm.
pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Well, the third one too is then when it's time for you to ask for what you want, know what you need to ask for and be crystal clear about it. So if you are part of a networking organization where it's very referral driven
yeah.
and you have your moment to stand up, it's your moment.
Yeah.
Own it.
Yeah.
Ask for what you want. If you are looking to raise capital
mm-hmm.
and you're looking for $150,000, be clear. I want people in this room to introduce me to people that can get me capital.
Right.
Just say it. Like, but you
yeah.
have to know it. And you have to
right.
know how much you need. And you have to know why you need it. Or I need a director of human resources.
Mm-hmm.
Who can connect me to somebody
mm-hmm.
that can get me a director of human resources? Did you know 85% of all jobs are fulfilled through networking?
Oh,
85%.
I have no doubt. Right now, I'm hiring new people, and they're saying, hey, should we go advertise? I go, well, go do that, because you need to
right.
do that to send
mm-hmm.
people where they go. But look, let's get to our network.
Yeah.
I said that. Let's get to our network. We're going to find the people we want to hire from the
mm-hmm.
people we already know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, almost
the
all the
way.
Always the way.
Always the way
yeah.
to do it. And if you are networked, it will make it much easier. And then I think you have to be willing to do some research on the types of groups that are going to be best for you. And not even groups, but opportunities. So I always talk about
Ooh,
the short game and long game in networking. Because there really is the short game and there's the long game.
See, I think a lot of people approach networking a lot too loosely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going
totally
to a network
agree.
Event. I don't do it that way.
Yeah.
I do what you said. I'm going with a purpose in mind.
That's right.
That a goal. What's our goal for tonight's event? So let's just take our event last night that
mm-hmm.
we did. Now, I was running that event,
mm-hmm.
Or the team was, so I knew who was coming and what
right.
was coming. We did then a LinkedIn profile with a picture on every single people that RSVP'd
mm-hmm.
yes. So that when, you know, Maya, I'm talking to Maya Houlihan, president of Loyalty Networking right now, but when I already know Maya, but let's say, imagine I didn't, there was a picture of her and her bio, and mm-hmm. I read up on you ahead of time. I knew what I could say, and when you came up and introduced me, I could say right away, hello, Maya,
right.
before you even said your name. That's
mm-hmm.
that's pretty cool
yeah.
to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
Now, you don't always have the luxury of that.
That's right.
But
and not everybody needs that. You don't need to do that. You're very magnetic. People
well,
are automatically drawn to you, okay? I have
no,
a
I'm
big
actually
presence.
Electrifying. See, I used to be magnetic, but years ago I got struck by lightning. Now
so
I'm electrifying.
Now you're electrifying.
I'm electrifying,
right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So
it's
so
a true story.
For some people, you don't necessarily need all of that, although it's great. I do not dissuade anyone, but I think there's a large population of people that avoid networking because of the fear of what am I going to say? How do I introduce myself?
Well, so and some people think it's kind
prepared.
Of a sleazy thing. I mean, they do think it's a slimy,
mm-hmm,
sleazy
they
thing,
do.
Which is. Oh, I almost said a bad word on Yitzhak's show, and I would never be invited back here at 77 WABC. See, I'm used to my own podcast where we can speak like that in South Dakota where I'm from, you know, and even in New York,
That's
I hear
right.
it quite often from
sure,
people, but
yeah.
I don't want to say it here. But, you know, I it's not. It's a very a very worthy activity. Mm-hmm. And it's at the core of everything we do.
Absolutely.
And if you do it right and you're one of the best at it, it will expand your business. It will expand your mind.
Absolutely.
It will motivate you, inspire you, and you will help to motivate and inspire others by doing it right.
That's right.
The problem is many of you idiots out there, and yeah. I'm going to say that, mm-hmm. don't do it right.
That's right.
You show up with no business card. You show up with no plan. You show up with no content. You're there for the wine, or you're mm-hmm. there for the whiskey, and you're in, to fill time because someone said you had to do it. And quite frankly, you're a waste of my time when you do that.
Oh, and there's so many missed opportunities that you have, are right under your nose, and you don't even realize that they're there.
Yeah. Well, I bought and sold over mm-hmm. 250 businesses in my career. Who knows?
You know,
and I know other people, and I know many other people who are buying businesses, mm-hmm. selling businesses, or want those services. And when I find it, so the key I think is you've got to go prepared with a plan,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
How you're going to work the room? What do you expect? What is your goal to make 10 new contacts, 5 mm-hmm. new contacts? To meaningfully meet one person in the room who could be your lifelong friend, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely.
Soulmate. Yeah. I actually heard someone
said
last night.
We had
one of our C-suite network advisors talk uh-huh. about, being a soulmate. Mm-hmm. She thought the person she met in an event was going to be her soulmate. Turned out to be a really good friend without benefits.
Right.
You know?
And opened many doors for her as well. I mean, it really
and
was
they're doing business
profound.
Together. Yeah. It's profound in her business. It's profound in her personal life. But she's really making a real go of it. And I know
absolutely.
She needed it at that time. Mm-hmm. So that was great to hear.
Sure.
So you come with a plan. Let's imagine you walk into the room for the first time. What should you do?
I think walking into the room for the first time is the scariest part for anybody, even a
for
seasoned
extroverts.
Person.
You're an extrovert
I'm
person.
An extrovert.
Me too.
Yeah. Like even last night was hard because it was a crowded bar, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I jockey my way into this? And so here's some advice. I looked for the two people I knew, you and Trisha. I was like, one of them has to be here. I know that I can inject myself in that conversation without offending anybody because you know me and she knows me and it was great. And she introduced me to three fabulous women and that's how I got in.
And the same thing, if you remember, I was talking to Julie Pimsler mm-hmm. who runs the Million Dollar Women's Group. And she's helping 1 million women get to $1 million in revenue.
Right.
And she asked me to come and be a mentor. I mm-hmm. love to go and do the events and love to meet those women who are really trying to make a difference in business and men for that matter. I love to just help everybody because I love and believe in the free enterprise system. But I couldn't be there for her event. Mm-hmm. And she said, I need other people. Jeff, network.
That's
this is networking. I need other people. You need to talk to Maya.
She already emailed me this morning.
She
and
did.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
See, she followed up. Imagine what happens.
Networking
when you follow
works.
Up. And I'll email her on my way to the airport. So it does. It absolutely does work.
So the first thing you do is size up the crowd.
Right.
Look it over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's you're sitting down at a meeting mm-hmm. and you're all there and you're classroom style or maybe. In a big round circle, because a lot of your meetings, I think, are a little bit more like that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
As opposed to what we've been describing as a cocktail party or a business function. But if you're going to go to a mixer,
absolutely.
I used to go to my chamber mixers in mm-hmm. South Dakota all the time. And now I go to industry mixers all the time or events that I'm speaking at or have to be at as mm-hmm. part of a conference or we're posting. So you size up the room.
Yes.
But you got to have a goal in mind, don't you? I think you have to have goals in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we going to get accomplished? And if you bring your team...
Absolutely.
Don't stand next to each other.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to do that. I mean, I was at a chamber event the other day with three of my colleagues, and we were kind of just at the very beginning, just bantering about all the exciting things we had going on. And finally, Tanya was like, girls, we got to disband. Like, we got to go. You go in that direction, you go in that. So it's very easy to stay with what you're comfortable with.
Right.
Okay?
Totally.
So you got to push each other, and go in opposite directions.
You really do have to do that. You have to each play a role,
mm-hmm.
each play a position, just like on a team because you aren't a team, like you're a sports team.
That's right.
Right? And you don't want three players all standing underneath the goal.
That's exactly right.
Or up at the baseline or wherever it might be.
Yeah,
and it's a lot. People do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing you have to do in the networking, we said this, we alluded to it, but I want to make sure that we deliver very, very clearly. I will tell you, if someone emails me for the first time, if someone comes up to me for the first time, first I always try to identify what do you do and mm-hmm. who you're with, because mm-hmm. I like to know. I really like to know. And that helps me give me some context.
Sure.
But my real first and real key question that I always ask is, how can I help you?
Yeah.
How can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, In fact, it was interesting. I had a lot of people last night who were at the event say, yeah, I got that email from your people. I said, that wasn't from my people. That was from me.
Yeah.
I invited you. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that made these invites for this event. And so real critical is to be able to now say, hey, how can I help you? Because the more you give, the more you get, right? Isn't that always the case?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, find creative questions to ask that aren't, what do you do? How, you know, like, how long have you been here for?
I
like
that, yeah. What's your sign?
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's right. Almost, you know, right. What do you do is kind of like, what's your sign?
That's right.
That's like the business.
But I like, what makes you you, right? Like, tell me, who are you standing in front of me that's
I wouldn't
not
like that
business?
Question.
I can do that.
Yeah,
you,
you're a bit more
You have questions you can get away with that I can't get, because I'm a charming person, so people won't be offended by that.
As opposed to me not being charming. I think, whoa, did we hear that right here. Hey, by the way, that was good. Hey, we're right now sitting on the iconic stage 17 right here in Madison Square Garden at Penn Station, and we're with 77 WABC. I'm filling in for Yitzhak Saflis of Mind Your Business. That's what you're listening to. I've got on this show right now Maya Houlihan, president of Loyal Networking, and this is Jeffrey Hazlett, who's filling in. Yitzhak always lets me take over the show because tonight, as you're listening in, you know it's Rosh Hashanah. So Happy New Year to everybody that's listening
in.
It is great to have that. You know, it's great to have different religions and different things and still get along.
Absolutely.
You know, in this Trump world.
I
in this Trump world, we can do this. We can still
yes,
be friends.
We can all be friends.
Yitzhak, boy, we have a lot of fun when we get together. I'll tell
that's
you that.
Great.
So Yitzhak, you know, I know you'll be listening to this later. Because you can't participate, but you'll be listening in.
And when
you hear it, you know that I love you, brother. And we got to go for a good kosher steak.
Because that's what he
takes me out for a kosher steak every once in a while. And so, it's so good. Lamb and lion. Lamb, I think, is where we went. Oh, it's so good. It's very good. Anyway, shout out for those
now
guys.
Now I'm hungry.
Shout out for those guys. But, you know, but a lot of people make just, I think, really stupid mistakes in not giving, you know. So you say, you ask different kinds of questions.
I do.
To kind of get that going.
And it always is, then, how can I help you?
Yeah.
Even when I follow
You're just
up,
trying to get to know them over
just
there,
trying
right?
to, and then I, you know, I say to people, and literally now I can say it because it is my job, but I genuinely love connecting people. Like, is there one person I can connect you with? Right?
Yeah.
So if for instance, last night I was speaking to a woman who is going to do her very first capital raise campaign.
Mm.
Well, I've done three of them, not huge ones, but I've done them. So it's like, if there's anything that I can do to help you, if you want me to look at your offer deck, I'll take a look at it and give you some advice. And, you know, like,
why would you do that?
Because I think that you have a responsibility as a leader and as a business person to share your knowledge and to share your wins and your losses. Right. Yeah. Like, I am very vocal
about
my failures.
Thank you for doing that, because that's what makes you be a part of our hero club.
Thank you.
You know, hero leaders who want to give back, who put, you know, people over profit.
Absolutely.
To help other people. And again, but by the way, let me imagine that you did that for that woman. Mm-hmm. What might, let's think about what might happen. Now, think about this. Mm-hmm. You offered to help her.
Yep.
You offered to maybe listen to her pitch, read the deck. What might be the outcome of that?
Sure. Well, a beautiful thank you card would always be lovely. Okay.
A bottle of wine, something like that.
Night dinner.
Just even a thank you
absolutely
would be okay,
a thank
right?
Thank you is huge.
That alone.
Sure.
But here, let me tell you, folks, what some other things might come out of that. She might ask you to be on the advisory board.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Well, sorry. I took your thunder.
No, but it's great. We're on the same wavelength. A position on the board.
Yeah.
An opportunity to consult.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, I'm going to introduce you to somebody else who you might be able to help, who might give you another opportunity.
Who is a good friend of yours already, and now you've done double favor.
Yes.
Double thing.
That's
double win. That's really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, you might get on the advisory board, get some stock. You might have a chance to invest. You think you might believe in it.
Absolutely.
After you read the plan. And you never know where these things might go.
Never know.
My team sometimes, I have a few of them get on me about, because I take every phone call. I take every email. It's becoming tougher, and it's really tough to do it, but I do it because I can't believe people want to reach out to me, you know? But they always say, why do you do that? And I said, there might be a pony in there.
Yeah.
Might be a pony in there. you know? Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, sometimes there's not a pony.
Right.
It's a donkey.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Could I learn from
sure.
that donkey? What a stupid idea. What
Absolutely.
Was it? I don't want to do that, you know? I never make fun of people or anything like that. I don't try to do that. But
mm-hmm.
But I do try to learn from the situation yeah. and get something value out of it.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And you can be encouraging. Like, it's so funny because last night was really, it was very profound for me. I had some great conversations. And one of them was with a gentleman that I had just met who's had a very accomplished career, very colorful. And, you know, I think the height of it was a few years back, not today. And there was three of us chatting and he said, you know, I'm not as successful as I used to be, or I just don't have that much success. And I just looked at him and was like, don't ever utter those words.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever utter those words. Do you realize that you have done more in your career than most people will ever even think of doing?
Mm.
Like, you didn't stand on the, you're not on the sidelines. You've played the game.
Yeah.
You know, you might not be scoring in the game at this moment like
right.
you were 10 years ago,
but you don't
but
have
you're still
to
in
prove.
The game.
And you have
nothing
to prove,
yeah. right? So, I mean, sometimes networking is just to lift other people up, right? Or to say, I understand where you're at. I understand those feelings, but you are already doing more.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you're here and you're present.
To be an example for
Absolutely.
Other people in the right
yeah,
way. I think
right.
that's good.
That's right.
By the way, I think we're seeing more of that as we're seeing these 50-year-olds or so, myself included, who leave the industry, leave mm-hmm. the marketplace. There's a real issue with that right
yeah.
now. And so networking gives them a great way to be able to reconnect,
Absolutely.
Find, and, you know, again, let's take like your friend that you met
right.
last night.
Mm-hmm.
Advise that person,
right.
give
mm-hmm.
them some help, help
that's
them
right.
along, and so you can make that happen. I think that's important for us to be able to think. All right, so now we've worked on our business, we've thought of the things that we're going to say, we've got our pitch ready, our 118, and now we've done a little strategy ahead of time about what we're going to get in target. Now we're working the room, mm-hmm. and we ask the first kind of questions. Now what do we do?
So are we leaving? Are we still there? Or have we left?
Yeah, you know, there you go. It's real quick. Because I was going to get into the part where we leave. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, the key too is to make sure that you have spoken to everybody that you want to speak with. So if
yeah.
you're in a situation where somebody is dominating the conversation, you can, without offending them, very politely say, I have so enjoyed speaking with you. I need to meet with one person before I leave this evening. It is
yeah.
It's on my to-do list. It's
yeah.
part of my goal
yeah.
to connect with this person. So I'm gonna bow out, but I will follow up with you. Thank you so much for chatting with me. And then make sure you do, if you bring in a target list, make sure you hit those targets,
yeah.
right? Because you are there for you,
yeah.
true, right? Like you've set the goal, so let's do it.
You just gave a great way of being able to get out of a conversation too. Which I think is
yes.
good too, because
don't just exit. Have you ever had anyone just turn their back on you and walk
ghost,
away?
Yeah, ghost.
Like,
just ghost. You were talking 1 second, they ghost.
Okay.
I don't have that. I have more where people won't stop talking to me, and
yes.
then because of the media and stuff I've mm-hmm. done, they or success in the business, I have people who I just get swamped by, and I can't get to the people I really
want to
get.
To.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have ways of being able to mm-hmm. do that. I thought that was a very eloquent way that you just did. To make sure you accomplish your goals of what you want and the people that you want to talk
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Have you ever gone into a network where you think, when I'm in it, this isn't the right group?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
I'm just straight up and honest and say it's not the right fit for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, and again, yeah. part of that is knowing your business, right?
Yeah.
So there's networking groups that are very heavily focused on referrals. So depending on the type of business you have, you might not have one of those businesses where people can refer you someone every minute, or you can't refer. There's just not, like, your business is on this plane and their business is on this plane. So why put the pressure on yourself to have to deliver a referral that's really not going to get
right.
anywhere? We have enough pressure as business owners. Nobody needs that. So I think you have to be honest. But the only way that you can be honest is to know your business, right? Because if you don't, then you could spend years networking with the wrong people and then be frustrated and be like, why are these relationships not going anywhere? Why do I feel like, and then if it's one-sided, it's probably time to step back. Like if you're
yeah.
the one always bringing something to the table
yeah.
and nobody is bringing anything to you, that's the sign that you're in the wrong group.
It's important. Really around that purpose. You know, before you had a franchise like Loyalty Networking that you could buy
mm-hmm.
and do, which I think is a modern franchise, because there are some other ones out there, networking groups. But to me, they haven't updated their models
right.
for a
That's
long,
exactly
long time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know about this space a great deal because
mm-hmm.
of our C-suite network work. And you know, I started a networking group in my local town of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 30 mm-hmm. some years ago. And I will tell you what the name of it. It was called the Million Dollar Boys Club. That's what we call it. And the reason we did that, because we were all men at the time, mm-hmm. young guys, who were just getting started with our own businesses. And then we added women, of course, because we realized how stupid we were not having that representation. But we limited it to a set number, and we met every 2 weeks. And we had – so at that time, I owned a printing business. And so I wanted to know all the businesses that were moving to town because then I could start the printing. So who do I need? Well, I need a realtor. Mm-hmm. I needed someone with a telephone guy. I needed the garbage guy. I found out the garbage guy was very important because they know right away, the first thing you do is call, you turn on electricity. Yes. So we got somebody from utility company. Okay.
Smart.
Yeah. We got somebody from the gas company. We got somebody from the telephone company. Mm-hmm. We got somebody that sold telephones. We got me for the printing, someone for real estate. Let's see, what office equipment and mm-hmm. office supplies. Mm-hmm. That's, again, huge. We were very B2B.
Yeah.
But the garbage, Bob Novak, that's his name. So, Bob, if you're listening from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you know, he sold his business for multi-millions of dollars. Now he's owns a wine shop.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
a good business.
Yeah, it
right
went
there.
From garbage to wine. But what a great guy. One of the nicest men you've ever met in your life, and his wife, Kathy. But, you know, hopefully they, I hope they're listening because they, you know, he was really good. He was really good. And so that was a real purpose mm-hmm. in mind. Now, mm-hmm. but I like the fact that you can go and start your other, you can start a franchise, you can get your own group going.
Absolutely.
That teaches you all those things. And we had to learn the long way how to mm-hmm. do it. But we used to sit on every 2 weeks and you had to bring so many new contacts. Yeah. Hey, did you know so-and-so and so-and-so? Mm-hmm. And if you didn't give value to the group, we kicked you out.
Oh, no, it's give and take. And you have to, that's the other thing is when you're looking at groups, be honest with yourself on how much time you can commit to it, right? Because you're doing a disservice to yourself. You're doing a disservice to the other members of the group if you don't show up like everybody else is showing up. So
yeah. So when we think about it, I have people who are what I would call suckers. All right. Now, what I mean by suckers, not that they're a sucker, meaning like they're a terrible person, but they're time suckers. They're resource suckers. They're users. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you do when you have somebody who's always asking something of you that doesn't give something back? How do you have a way of doing that? I know what I do, but do you have a way of doing that?
So, I am not a very confrontational person, and I believe you should lead like every conversation with compassion. So
I'm compassionately confrontational.
And that's just me, right?
I'm compassionately
that's
confrontational.
That's the best way to do it, right?
I will punch you in the face and care about it.
That's right. That's right. So I have at times asked somebody for coffee to go to coffee or lunch, and I usually position it with, you know, is there something that else you need from me mm-hmm. that will help you be resourceful for me like I'm resourceful for you?
Oh, that's a nice way of doing it.
So where it's not like what have you done for me lately? It's like, you know, I have introduce you to so-and-so. You can use examples, you know, and I've noticed that, you know, I haven't necessarily gotten as much back from you. What can I do differently? Or do you understand my business? Do you understand what it is?
It. Yeah.
Because I want to make sure you understand what I offer, what my products are, what my services are, so that, you know, you can introduce me to as many people, you know, that you think would work well with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that just kind of doesn't make them feel like they're a horrible person.
I want to set up what I would call, if I've got somebody who's asking a lot for me mm-hmm. over and over and over again and using my network, using me to do it, I'm going to set up some conditions of satisfaction.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, some way to understand says, hey, Jim, this is my third time sending you over a great referral or a piece of business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where's my bottle of scotch?
Yeah.
You know, I might
say
it like that or something like that, you know? Or I just stop responding, quite frankly, to somebody that just
step
is
two
uses.
Just have to stop. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with actually saying before you stop, I respect you in business. I wish you so much success. I don't think we're good referral partners.
Yeah, and I've had people who have come to my events or come participate like at our Hero Club or our C-Suite network. And then I say, hey, as part of the network, this is what we do and you should join, you should be a part of it and so forth. And then they come back and say, no, but I'd like you to do this or this or this, which to me, you know, beyond just a casual referral,
mm-hmm.
they're asking me basically help sell their business.
Sure.
And then I refuse. I had someone who got very upset with me and said, I didn't know this was quid pro quo. I said, it's not quid pro quo, but But usually right. I would get a box of chocolates.
Sure.
And I said that to him. I said, usually I don't have people who try to just take it, blatantly take advantage of me. And I said, I don't feel right about that. And then he proceeded to get very upset with it. I said, you can get upset all you want, but you should not. Again, this just tells me that you're a user.
Sure, yeah,
meaning because you're not caring about my feelings, about about my needs, wants, and things about that. And, you know, I have no problem if, you know, say, hey, here's Joe Johnson, you know, meet Jim Johnson or Jim Smith or whatever. But I don't like the other piece of it, you know, which I think is...
And we have friendships like that have to be, you know...
Oh, yeah, without question.
So it's a very, however you handle it with a friend, you know, take your own advice and apply it to business because it's very similar.
Well, you know, what we're getting into is some of the things that we do at our Hero Club and C-Suite Network about values. I'm going to ask you a question about that. We've been talking a lot about people. We've been talking a lot about business. Now, and we've been talking about standing by the, you know, courage of our convictions. Mm-hmm. You know, what are yours?
So one of my biggies is do what's right, not what's popular. You know,
do what's right. Cool.
Really,
it can be popular too, right?
I mean, if it's popular, it's great.
It's even better.
But it has to be right. And particularly if you're leading a team, if you have a team, you have to create an environment where they feel safe, where they feel that they can flourish, where they are clearly understand where the business is going. And so there's like a large measure of transparency and honesty that needs to be present in order for that to happen, you know? And I'm just a big believer of just, you know, just live and work honestly and be as open as you possibly can. You know, and I've been in leadership roles forever, even when I was playing sports, as you know, I was a leader in my sports teams. And, you know, I just believe in you work for them as much as they work for you. So I'm always a like, who works with you, right? Who are the members of your team, not for. And it's just give and take. I mean, it really is give and take.
For me, it's I put the value of trust way up there.
Absolutely.
You know, we see that certainly in our Hero Club about these are walk away values of people, and trust is at the forefront. And when I talk about trust, folks, I'm talking about three things. I'm talking about first sincerity. I have to believe you're sincere. If you break sincerity with someone, it's tough to go back. It's really tough, as opposed to the other two. Features of trust, which are or pillars of trust, but sincerity is a tough one. You can't lie. You can't cheat. You can get by with that, and I might forgive you, but you're going to have to redeem yourself as that process. And usually, it takes a long time for that. And we see that certainly in family dynamics.
That's
you see it in business. I've hired people who have gone to prison for. You know, lying and cheating. But yet I felt they redeemed themselves, and some of the best employees and partners I've had once I had a guy call me from jail who was an alcoholic, and he got pulled over and he was going to have to serve time in jail at the county jail. And they were going to let him out on work release. And he called me from jail and he said, can I come work for you? And I said, yes. I said, but I want to talk to you. And we talked openly and honestly. Are you going to stop drinking? Yes. You promise never to drink again, blah, blah, blah. And then here's what you can do. And here's your desk. And here's what you're going to do. And he worked in my printing operation for years. One of the best sales guys I ever had. And you know, I will tell you, and not to pat myself, he said, I helped save his life,
That's great.
But you can do that. The other two pieces of trust are then competency and reliability. And for me, those are great values too. You know, are you competent at what you do? Because you can be competent. And then the next one is reliability, as I mentioned. So are you reliable or not?
Sure.
You know, you can be competent and not reliable.
Absolutely.
Okay. You're going to never deliver it on time, but you could certainly do it. And you can be unreliable and competent,
right.
You know, or incompetent.
Yeah,
you're going to screw it up every time. You know, you can be like that. So those are some key values for me in terms of what I do.
Commitment's another one that's huge.
Promises,
for me.
I call them promises.
It's you might not be the best practitioner, right? You might not be the best person, you know, on the team. But if you're committed, you know, that speaks volumes to me as a leader, and I will do whatever I need to do to help you along because you're showing up.
Yeah.
And that's key.
Which is important.
Yeah.
You know, I call it promises, mutual conditions of satisfaction. I try to do that in every relationship. What is it we're supposed to do for you? How am I supposed to do it? The way I'm supposed to do it? What color it is?
And,
you know, Yitzhak has a business that does that, and he's always having to deal with people with printing and all kinds of marketing services.
Sure.
I know he has. And, you know, that's what we're talking about, just constant, you know, negotiation of those promises,
right.
You know. Hey, listen, folks, we're winding down our time, but before we do that, this is Jeffrey Hazlett. I'm hosting today for Yitzhak Saflis, and this is Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. We're right here on the 17th floor of WABC, right in the heart of New York, in Madison Square Garden and Penn Station, and we're on the 17th floor, which is called the Stage 17, which we know is a very iconic place, and we're talking with Maya Houlihan, president of Loyalty Networking, a division of Loyalty Brands. They have lots of brands and lots of work that they're doing, and we're so glad that you're here and being a part of that show. Any parting word?
Oh, gosh. I would just say go for it. Just go. Just jump.
Do it. Yeah.
Do it.
Don't
be afraid.
You sound like that's a commercial for Nike.
It is.
But it works here, too.
Folks, you heard it right here
on Mind Your Business. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of it. I hope you have a great new year. And Yitzhak, thanks for letting this good old Lutheran boy from South Dakota, Jeffrey, as a come and be a part of the show and be a part of your success. Till next time.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.